Father, today we pray that you will be heard, you will be seen, you will be experienced by all. Lord, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for, Lord, just refreshing us with your presence. And we pray that you would download, Lord, fresh revelation and give us fresh manna, fresh bread today, Lord God, and that we can be nourished by your word, Lord, your truth, and that we will be a people who walk in and uphold the truth. Because we know, Lord, only the truth will set you free, just like you said. And, Lord, we want to hold you up. We want to hold up what you do and what you say and make you known. To make you famous, Lord, is our desire. And we thank you for the grace that you give us, Lord, to accomplish your will. Amen. You know, God gives us everything that we have need of. We don't have to do this in our own ability, thank God. How many know if you try to minister in your own ability, you're making a mess of things? How many know that it's possible to minister in your own ability? I'm talking about operating from the soul. We've been talking about that. The soul or the spirit. The Word of God, Hebrews 4, tells us, right, that it divides between soul and spirit. Between joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And so God's truth, the light of his word, begins to expose what is of him that is being given from him to us versus that which is of us or our adversary. The adversary can work in the soulish realm, amen, of a believer as well, if we're not careful. We can be one day in hearing the praise of Jesus, blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And then turn right around and say something that we think is a good thing to say, the right thing to say, and yet it be completely from the adversary. That's what happened to Peter when he tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. You remember? He said, Lord, I'll never allow you. I'll never let you go to the cross. And it's not going to happen. And Jesus rebuked him and called him Satan or adversary. So get behind me, Satan. Now, that was a humbling experience because Peter needed to understand that in order for him to be a servant of the Lord, he could not be who he was naturally in this thing. It was bigger than him. It was beyond what he could do. It was something that God was going to do through a broken man, through a broken vessel. You see, it's as long as we're unbroken, we're not going to be useful to the master. We're like a stubborn horse, aren't we? We have our own agenda, our own way. And yet there has to be a breaking so that we become user-friendly to the master. And we don't like the process. But the process is necessary to get us into the place, the position, for God to be able to download into us and entrust to us the greater riches of the kingdom so that we will not take what he's given us and be foolish with it. Now, we've all done that. We've all taken, anybody beside myself ever done that? God has given you something and you just kind of acted in haste or presumptuous about things. And then later, you know, you said, well, that was inappropriate. What I said might have been true. It might have been right. But I wasn't operating in the spirit of Christ when I spoke. Because the letter of the law kills. But the Spirit gives life. So we need to know how to walk and move in the Spirit and operate from the Spirit man and not the soul man. Soul man. I can't help it, man, every time I hear it. But we are a soul, right? And we're a body and we have a spirit. And when we are born again, what happens is God's Spirit comes into our spirit. But the soul is still there. Are you with me? It's still got its ways. That's the soul is you. It's yourself. So when we talk about being selfish or full of yourself, how many like people that are full of themselves? Have you ever been full of yourself before? Amen. Say amen so you don't lie in here and we'll have to have an altar call. But God is, he's bringing us into a place where we're going to bear fruit. And the process sometimes is difficult. It's long, but it's necessary. It's called the discipline of the Lord. If you're sons, he's going to discipline you. And he's going to, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, there's a process that where you're being built up internally in your spirit, you're growing your spirit through the Word of God, through praise and prayer, right? God's also going to start working on that outer man that's stubborn, presumptuous, self-willed, right? Wants its own way. It's like the teenager. If you're a teenager, don't get mad at me. But we've all been teenagers here, right? And we know that I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. The same thing is true in the spirit. As we grow up and we go through phases and we get to a place where we think we've pretty much got it figured out and we know it all, and then God turns it up a little bit more and we begin to realize that, wow, the older I get and the more that I learn, the more I realize how little I know and how God really is got to work in me, and I've got to cooperate with him in the process because it's good. It's a good thing that he wants to do. And so it's you know, I had a brother send me a text the other day, and he says, you know, we need to walk in humility. We need to stay humble before the Lord. And I said, yeah, that's right. Because if we don't, he will humble us. You know what I'm talking about? If we don't stay humble, we'll be humbled. Well, the deal is this, is that you're going to be humbled anyways. Because there's one thing of being disciplined and saying, okay, self, obey the word of God. Obey the will of God, right? And that's just having this deal where, you know, we do what we want to do. And when we're doing our own thing, we're getting in the way of what God wants to accomplish through us. The only way that we're going to have effect in other people's lives is by operating in the Spirit. You can listen to a message. It can be completely structured right. I mean, theologically correct. And yet be void of life. We have to learn how to minister through the Spirit and by our Spirit. Amen? So it's God's Spirit with our spirit. We're united with him in Christ. And so God's life has to come out. And for that to happen, there has to be a humbling, a shrinking of the soul man, you know? The self-life has to be set aside. When Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, he meant your soul. Psuche is the word. And that part of you, it really means to completely scrap it. And if you're going to follow me, he says, you're going to have to say, my agenda, my life, my dreams, my goals, my desires are irrelevant. What matters is God's purpose, God's will for my life now, because he bought me with his blood. I'm his child. I'm his representative. And the only way I'm going to glorify him is to deny myself that wants to do its own thing and humble my soul under the Spirit of God. Now, the thing is people get scared when they hear that because, I have a lot of good ideas, a lot of dreams, Well, guess what? What God will do is most of those he's put in you already. He's put those in you. It's not a bad thing. The problem is you got to get out of the driver's seat. And you need to submit everything, your plans, your goals, your desires, your dreams, everything to God to say, God, what do you say? In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. And when God lifts you up, no man can take away what he's accomplished in you. If you try to lift yourself up, self-esteem, that lasts for a little while. But really, if you think about it, self-esteem is really a form of pride. It's not that we have a poor self-esteem. It's like we think too much about ourselves, and we're not thinking about God and his plan for our lives. And when we set up these unrealistic expectations of what we think is best for us, because we don't really know what's best for us, but we think we do. Come on. And then you don't reach that goal that you set for yourself. You're crushed. You're beaten down. I got low self-esteem. I'm just a loser. Are you with me? See, this stuff has gotten twisted into some of our theology today, and it's like the way up is to humility. I don't have self-esteem problems, do you? I know who I am. I'm a child of God. That's what I need to know. That I'm a child of the King. My value is not what I assess myself as being or what the world tells me I am. My value is based upon my identity in Christ. Are you with me? Because as long as we're expecting the world to validate us and to tell us you're great, are you with me? You're putting your faith in the wrong place. Because the world will love you when you're up. But when you're down, hey, let's all get in the kicking party, right? Well, as long as you get something I want, I'll be your buddy. Remember in 1 Samuel 15, King Saul was given the instruction from Samuel to punish Amalek because the Amalekites had ambushed Israel when they'd come out of Egypt. They had opposed God's people. How many know that God doesn't like anybody touching his people, right? That includes you and I touching one another. God doesn't like it. Because we're his kids, right? We're his, and he doesn't like, how many of you like it when your kids fight? No. If you're a single child, you may not know what that's like, but God doesn't like it when we fight. When we backbite. But Saul here was a double-minded man. Saul was a king who was very soulish in that he had his ideas, his agenda, his goals, probably his dreams of greatness. And he knew what the word of the Lord was. It was very clear. It came to him in clarity. And yet, he thought any old way will do as long as it's, you know, close. How many know that God doesn't like close? He wants us to be with him. Amen? So Samuel, in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, he said, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Well, what was the word in verse 2? It says, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Listen, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. But because Saul, I want you to hear this, was influenced by what people wanted and also what he wanted, he what? Compromised the word of God. And it cost him dearly. You know, sometimes we think, God, what you're asking me to do is unreasonable. Of course, you've never thought that, but I have. Has God ever told you to do something that seemed unreasonable at the time? Sure. Because we are to be moved by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and not by our reason. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher. And so if we operate just in our own human understanding or reason, we get in trouble. We need to know the heart of God, the mind of God through the Spirit. And we need to obey that still small voice that cuts through the mix at times. It's called the voice of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. And sometimes we have made up our mind that we want to do a certain thing, go a certain place, you know, have a certain activity. And as we're on our way to do this thing because we used our mind, you know, to think about it, we've chosen as an act of our will to go ahead and do this thing, you know. And it even felt good at the time. There's the emotions. There's the soul. There's the self-life. Are you with me? We all have that. But then as you're on your way to do it, someone else interrupts and says, don't do that. I don't want you doing that. Now here's where we need to make the decision whether I'm going to listen to his voice, the voice of truth, which is telling me something different than often my own intellect is telling me, my own reason is telling me. But if I operate in the soul or in the reason, I'm going to find myself missing the mark. You're going to fall into sin. Your emotions will get you into sin very quickly. Your emotions will deceive you, because sometimes our emotions can be manipulated even by the devil himself. Some people think just because there was goosebumps, it's the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? You can listen to that acid rock song that you're so fond of and get goosebumps. That's not the Holy Spirit. There's a rush to evil. I know all about it. Maybe you do too. But it's a counterfeit. It's false. And it leads to death. We need to know how to hear God, how to hear His voice, how to move in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And the only way you're going to do that is by building up your spirit man. Growing yourself spiritually. Are you with me? Worship. Praise. Word of God. Amen? Hearing the Word. Reading the Word. Thinking on, meditating on the Word of God. Building up your spirit man. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praying in your heavenly language. Jude 20. And so Saul was influenced by what people wanted. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's not going to come as a revelation to you, I'm sure. But as you and I, as believers, as followers of Jesus, we are called to uphold the truth. Amen? To stand for the truth. And you know as well as I do that we cannot tamper with it. Because when we tamper with what God says, we are now misrepresenting God. We can choose a God of our own, you know. In other words, I hear what He's saying, and the Spirit is bearing witness to what's being said, but my soul gets in the way and says, but I want Jesus to be like this. Is this speaking to anybody this morning? I don't like what God said, so I'm going to just adjust what He said to fit me. No, you've never done that before. That's what Saul did, and it cost him dearly. Now, it's not possible to uphold the truth if we are not delivered from ourselves. I like me. Do you like you? I do. I like me. And you know what? God likes me too. Amen. He loves me and He likes me. Because I'm His child. You're His child. And because of that, we have a responsibility, don't we? To honor our Father's name. To glorify our Father wherever we find ourselves. We are representatives. We represent Him. So when we don't uphold truth, which is what He says, if we compromise and water it down and make it wishy-washy, sloppy agape as some would call it, then we are now misrepresenting God and we are presenting a false image of who He is to the world. And we give cause for people to blaspheme our God. Is that what your God is like? How many times have you said, how many times have you heard it said, those Christians are all hypocrites? Well, you know, unfortunately, there are too many of us that are living in hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is simply acting like a Christian, or trying to, or attempting to. It's impossible to act like a Christian. You've got to be a Christian. And being a Christian means that the light or the life of Christ is being manifested through our lives by the Spirit. It's not going around with a big plastic smile on your face and trying to dress it up to be something that's really in your mind and you're just being fake. Amen? It's like some of these groups that are going around knocking on doors. a big plastic smile, it's because they're telling them, you got to act like that. Folks, you don't act like a Christian. You are a Christian. You need to know who you are, and you need to be in position for God to let His light shine out of your life. If we are going to be absolute for the truth, we can't be controlled by our emotions, by our will, or even by our intellect anymore. We must be led by the Spirit of God. And so many Christians are influenced, or so easily influenced, by the opinions of others that they compromise the truth. They compromise their walk for the favor of people. How many know that following Jesus is not always popular? He says it's a narrow way, it's a difficult way, it's a confined way, but it is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Thank God that God is revealing Himself, His heart to us, His Word, so that we might know what is true, so that we would not fall for error. Amen? God is showing us this is the way. Walk in it. You know, how many boyfriends and girlfriends have compromised their morals to please one another? How about entertaining the inappropriate jokes at work to save yourself from possible rejection? You see, if we're soulish believers, folks, we're easy targets for compromise. Because it's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can stand strong in the face of opposition. How many know that many brothers and sisters every year are being martyred? They're paying the ultimate price for their walk with Jesus. And how many know they could not do that except by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God? Amen? And sometimes we can't stand in a crowd of people that are telling a dirty joke and not to look like an oddball, you got to laugh at it. Come on! That's just an example. I'm sure you can think of a bunch of scenarios maybe you found yourself in where you're being pressured by the popular opinion of people. Well, what's everybody else doing? I'm going to go out here and pick it because why? Everybody else is doing it. You know, folks, I want to say this too. Sometimes we compromise our walk with Jesus to please our spouse or our children or our relatives or our friends. I've seen many times where this has been the case, and I've seen also where people have known the right way, but because their friends were going a different way, they went with their friends because they didn't want to pay the price. Are you with me? To lose the friend. I'll tell you what, a real friend is a friend that's going to walk with you, amen, and no matter who you are, and when they know who you really are and what you really like, they're still going to love you. They're going to accept you, amen. That's a true friend. Someone who wants you to compromise your convictions is not a friend at all. And the enemy will use sometimes even close friends to try to get us to compromise what is true. I've seen it where people, God told them what they are to do, even in situations in the church where there was drama in the church. And instead of paying the price to obey God and doing what was right, what they knew in their heart, they compromised to please their friends because they didn't want to lose their friends. Are you with me? You and I need to be led by the Spirit. We need to come to a place where Jesus is of such great value to us that even my life is not of greater value as that. My relationship with Jesus is more important, amen, than even my physical life. How can we lay down our life if we're full of ourselves? How can we accomplish the will of God if we're full of ourselves? How can we run this race encumbered, unhindered, if we're full of ourselves? If any man come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, take up his cross and follow me. And I have discovered that when I choose Jesus and I choose him, I choose life. And I find that fullness of life is life in the Spirit. And the things that God would tell me to let go of, to even as Abraham was called of God to go and offer his son Isaac. How unreasonable. Here's the son of promise, the one that you gave me, and now you're telling me to go take him and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham walked up the mount, you know, with his son by his side. Had the wood, had the fire. Father, we got the wood, we got the fire, where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide a sacrifice. Abraham was willing to obey the Lord, irregardless of his emotions, his will, his intellect, his, you know, are you feeling, you hearing it? And because he believed God, because he was willing to go God's way, God said, I'm not going to take your son. Do no harm to the lad. Now I know you are a believer. Now I know that you trust me. And because now I know that you can trust me, you have been proven. You've been tried. Now I can entrust to you the greater riches. I'm going to bring forth the promises in your life. We are called to uphold the truth. This word, amen? The word of God is true. We can't do that if we're soul-driven. We have to be spirit-led. And so you must build your spirit. And in the process of building your spirit, God's going to also be humbling your soul. And now your mind, your will, your emotions begin to come under the authority of the Spirit. So even though you still have your self life, you have a lot of freedoms in your self life. Are you with me? To do what you, pretty much most of the time, what you want to do until the Lord says, not there. Or the Lord interrupts your plans and says, no, I don't want you to do that today. I want you to follow me and do this. That couldn't have been the Lord. Do you understand that the more that we yield to the Spirit, the more that we are faithful to Him who is faithful, the more that He knows He can entrust the greater riches to us? Be faithful in little, and I'll make you what? Ruler of much. We have to be delivered from ourselves, folks. That's the major deliverance. You know, some people are into the demons and doorknobs. Everything's a demon. Everything's a devil. No, you just need to get delivered from you. There are demons. There are devils. But they're going to function in the you part that's not submitted to Christ. If you're born again, he can't possess you. That means ownership. God owns you. But I've seen people that have been pretty well tormented by the devil because they don't get their soul under authority of the Spirit, and they do stuff in their flesh, if you will, the flesh life, that brings trouble. I know all about it. How about you? How many have decided that, you know, it's better to follow Jesus, even if my intellect doesn't seem to agree with God sometimes? See, that's what Saul was saying. Saul was saying, why should I, you know, destroy the best of the sheep and the oxen, of the spoils of Agag, you know? He was reasoning within himself and said that seems a little unreasonable. The reason why is because these people that were opposing them, God knew their hearts and that they were bent on the destruction of his people. And unless they completely blotted them out, completely got rid of that situation, they were going to be a constant thorn in their side. Which was the case, wasn't it? The same thing is true to you and I today, folks. If God is saying, get rid of it. Get rid of it all. Are you with me? we got to be careful that we don't become a Saul and become double-minded and try to strike a compromise with God. Say, oh God, I'll get rid of that, but you can't have that. Well, the thing that you try to hold on to is going to be the very thing that's going to keep you bound. People with addictions have to come to the place where they are completely through. They are done. They're willing to die to self, die to that thing. And no longer am I going to entertain it. I'm not even going to think about it anymore. I'm not going to give it any credibility, you know, no attention. I'm going to deny myself. And instead, I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to focus on Him. And I'm going to focus building up my spirit. And learning who I am in my new identity. And learning how to walk on the water with Jesus. I want you to read, if you would, with me, Matthew 10:32. Talking about being delivered from ourselves. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. How many have trembled at that word before? Do you understand, folks, that the part of you that would deny Jesus is the soul that is unsubmitted to the Spirit? The part of you that is fearful to take the name of Jesus on your lips and speak to others about Jesus is the part that has to die. The part of you that would prevent you from being obedient to the Spirit is the part that has to be crushed or submitted or yielded to the Spirit. Are you with me? Because if you look at this in context, he's talking about confessing him before men. If you confess him before men, he says, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'll also deny you. Because he's saying you cannot live in your soul and complete or fulfill the will of God for your life. You cannot live a soulish life. You've got to die to yourself, to your ambitions, and you need to submit everything to God. And when you do that, you're going to find that as you are obedient to the Spirit and you take the steps of obedience, just one step at a time, one step of obedience, that the power, the grace of God will be plenty for you to do exactly what He told you to do. Oh, I can't talk about Jesus in front of people. Yes, you can. God would not tell you to do something you are not capable of doing. What you need is to obey and step out and deny the part of you that says, I don't want to do it. And whenever I've denied myself and I put that part of me aside and I step out for Jesus, I'm always like, wow, man, life is good in the God zone. There's joy in serving the Lord. How do people get on fire? How are they excited about Jesus? They got joy from the Holy Spirit because they're in cooperation with Him. They're doing what the Spirit is telling them to do, and they're denying the soul part that wants to oppose us. There's times when God brings you into this place and He's saying, I want you to open your mouth and give praise to me. Well, I don't feel like it today. I've got a headache. I had a bad day. I'm just going to come here and sulk. But the Spirit says, you want to get out of that place, you want to get out of that funk, open your mouth and give God praise. Amen. And so you say, soul, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Submit. Do what God says to do, and the grace, the power of God is released in your life. There's times when God's telling me, I want you to pray for the sick today. And my soul's saying, oh God, I don't know, I don't feel like anything's going to happen. What if, and my note kicks and says, what if nobody gets healed? But God says, I told you to go pray for the sick. All right, soul, you're going to submit to what God just said. Self, get in order. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's called self-control. Control yourself and step out for God. And when you do, God always comes through. Amen. So He said, listen, in verse 34, I want you to hear this because this is sometimes difficult to understand. But he says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, Jesus did come to bring peace. Yes, he did. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. The true peace is the peace of the Lord. That's why people wanted to be around Jesus, because there was peace, right, in his presence. So what is he saying? He's saying that, listen, because of the testimony of Jesus, because of your willingness to follow me and to confess me before men, there's going to be division. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be criticisms. There's going to be rejection sometimes from the people that are closest to you. And that includes your family. But this is where it comes down, where the rubber meets the road. If we are going to be followers of Jesus, we must deny ourselves. And even the opinions of others are not to sway us. Even our own lives are not that valuable to us. What we want to know is that when we're done here, that when we stand before Jesus, he's going to say, "Well done." God is trying to stir up his people, amen, and wake us up to the higher life of the Spirit. And whatever thing he's going to tell you to discard or get rid of in your life that's a hindrance. It may not even be a sin, but it could be a hindrance in your walk. A weight. Whatever you give up for God, you're going to find freedom in the Spirit. You're going to find that the exchange was way out of this world. Much higher than what I thought I was losing. When I got saved, folks, I was playing in a rock and roll band. The whole lifestyle, all that stuff. God radically saved me. And we had a couple years invested in this band, and we wanted to do our music thing and make an album and all that. We were in the process of it, actually. And we were making some money, not a whole lot, but some money, doing what we were doing. And God interrupted that whole thing, and I got radically saved in my bedroom. And then I went back to practice, and of course, this time things were different. You know, and I had, you know, all the equipment, the electric guitar and all that stuff and the buddies and all that life. And, you know, God just started weaning me off of all that stuff. In other words, I started giving stuff, selling stuff. I pawned stuff, whatever I could do to get rid of stuff that I had. And I ended up with just one 12-string guitar. I had all kinds of equipment. Takamine 12-string. That's the only thing I hung on to. And I went in and I got involved with a church. It was a Assembly of God church, full gospel combination thing. And I got in there with my 12 string and they're doing hymns and stuff, you know. So I'm up there and I'm like jamming out on this 12 string and they're doing hymns. And, you know, I love those hymns. I have no problem with that. But it was like this. I had to let all that stuff go. And I spent a year on my face before God, just really crying. And God was setting me free, and I was getting delivered. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. The whole thing started turning around. I mean, my soul life started coming under authority, you know, to the Spirit. And the desires I once had to do certain things were gone. You know, the work of the cross was there in my life, you know, subtracting certain things that I thought were so important to me. Now I look back at him and say, man, that was just a waste of time. But God needed to get me into that place where I could be an effective servant of his. I could be a user-friendly servant. That's what God's doing. That's what he's doing in all of us. He's still working in me. He's still working in you. What is he telling you to do today? What God has already been, while I've been speaking today, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to some of you about some of these very things, some of these issues, some of these liberties in your life that he's telling you, I want you to scrap it because it's a hindrance. It's not what you are saved to do. We have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. We've been called out of the world. Amen. We're not to be in the, we're in the world, but we're not of it anymore. We're to shine as lights in this world. We're to be an example of what a citizen of heaven is. Amen? We are representing the King here as ambassadors. And so we've got to get rid of the stuff that would hinder us in this race, in this walk. So that we can bear fruit unto eternal life and glorify the Lord. And in that day, have him smile at us and say, well done. But listen to what he said in verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And you know, in my natural understanding, when I look at it, I said, God, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem like your character or your heart. Because God is love, is he not? Is he not love? What he's saying is that this is not his desire. Okay, it's not his desire that these things happen. But if you will stand for truth and uphold the truth, because we are in a battle of truth, that's what it is. It's only the truth that's going to set people free. But if you make a stand for Jesus and you deny yourself and you're willing to pay the price to be a follower of his, then it's going to mean that there's going to be division. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be people, even of your immediate family sometimes, that are going to oppose you. And they're going to reject you. And yet we are not only called to glory with the Lord, but also to suffer with him. And he was despised and rejected. Yet for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. See, Jesus had a picture of eternity. He was looking at the end. He wasn't looking at the momentary. He wasn't living for the temporary. He was living for the eternal. And we are eternal citizens of heaven, amen? And we need to live for the eternal. We live for the kingdom. This kingdom is not our kingdom, folks. The kingdom of this world will one day become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, amen? But our citizenship is in heaven. And we're waiting for the Savior to return from there, to receive us. And while he's away, the cat is away, the mice cannot play. Amen. We need to be on assignment. We need to be living out the will of God for our lives, knowing that here we have no continuing city. We're looking for one to come. Amen. This is the truth. This is the gospel. If any man will come after me. You see, when Jesus spelled it out to people, many of them didn't want to follow him anymore. So that's too much of a price to pay. What they didn't understand is what they thought they were hanging on to, they were going to lose anyways. They were going to lose their life because they were trying to save their life. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. I am experiencing, and I know you are, many of you are, abundant life. Because I'm learning how to walk in a self-denial life, of a crucified life, if you will. To say, you know what? I can do a lot of things. I have a lot of freedoms. But if the Spirit of God is saying, no, not today, or no, not that, or get rid of this, or do this instead, that's where it comes down to obedience, doesn't it? And if we will say yes to him, then we will receive the superior reality of the kingdom in us. The true riches. The superior riches. And you know what? There's joy and peace and love and all the good things that, let's face it, everyone in their soul has been searching for. And they're all the wrong places, but looking for it. And it's like it's been there all along. And his name is Jesus. He said, just come to me. The things that you're trying to fill yourself up on will never satisfy you. Only I can complete you. Because you were made for me. As we say, I am my beloved's and he is mine. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. How many feel like, you know what, I really want to press into God even more now. I really want to evaluate myself before God and say, God, you decide now. Because I don't want anything, you know, to cheat me out of my eternal reward. Yeah. One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And this is the awesome thing, is that God has provided more than enough grace for everything that we encounter, everything that we are faced with, everything he calls us to do. His grace is abundant and amazing, and it's free. All we've got to do is cooperate and say yes. And the thing that you may think that you're going to lose, you'll gain so much more in eternity. We're not living for this world. We're living for that one. We're living for the kingdom. And I'm thankful to be able to share with you today and to be a part of the kingdom with you, and that you are a people who really do have a heart for God, that you really want to pursue him. You want to know him, and you want to do his will for your life. You want to live for your higher purpose. Because my dreams, my plans, my goals, you know, often they're just pipe dreams. Sometimes they're distractions. Are you with me? It may be a God-given dream, but this is where you need to submit your life to him and say, God, is this of you? Is this what you want me to pursue? I believe that God has called many people to specific ministries, you know, but they chose to do something different. And I don't want to be one of those people who chose to do something different. But I want to be one that chose the will of God. And how about you?